This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. We present Jill Bevilacqua's program, There's More in the Sunday Gospel Than Meets the Eye. Let's listen.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me and obey the commands I give you, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Paraclete, to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, since it neither sees him nor recognizes him. But you can recognize him because he remains with you and will be within you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come back to you. A little while now, and the world will see me no more. But you see me as one who has life, and you will have life. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who obeys the commandments he has from me is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and reveal myself to him."
After reading it several times, I realized that this gospel is circular. It starts and ends with love. In between, there are words like obey and commands, which tend to blur the message at first. But once the mist clears away, it all becomes simple. For those who love want to do what the loved one asks. The problem for us with loving God is that we're not there yet. Teresa of Avila suggests a way to find out how far we've progressed.
The Lord asks two things of us, love of God and love of our neighbour. If we want to know whether we are keeping these commandments, we must discover, I believe, whether we genuinely love our neighbour. For we cannot be sure if we are loving God, whereas we can know if we love our neighbour. And the further advanced you are in this, the greater will be your love for God. For God loves us so dearly that he will recompense our love for our neighbour by increasing the love we have for him.
One of the very first poems we ever had to learn at school was on just this theme. Written by Leigh Hunt in the first part of the 19th century, it was entitled Abu Ben Adam.
Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace, and saw within the moonlight in his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, "The names of those that love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerly still, and said, "I pray thee then, write me as one that loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with a great wakening light and showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest.
I don't know whether Leigh Hunt had read Teresa's writings, but it's interesting that she also comments that "I do not think we can have perfect love of our neighbour unless it has its roots in our love of God." And in her sensible way, Teresa adds, "Ask the Lord to give you this perfect love for others." I said it was a circular gospel, didn't I? When my 7-year-old granddaughter came home from school last week, she said they had been told to love their neighbours. "But that's easy," she said. The people next door have just given her a bicycle. Somewhat puzzling in our gospel is the promise of another Paraclete. But for the apostles, it would have been a familiar enough term. though it would probably not have been the Greek word parakletos. For the word meaning advocate, defender or helper, was used by the Jews of angels, prophets and just men. Only in John is it applied to the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells the apostles that he will not leave them orphaned. The Spirit will be with them always, will be within them. Way back, when he first sent his 12 apostles out, our Lord told them not to worry about how to speak when dragged before governors and kings. What you are to say will be given to you when the time comes, because it is not you who will be speaking. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking in you. And this comes about, as Luke recounts in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter and John are called before the Sanhedrin, and Peter astounds his listeners by his assurance. For he is, writes Luke, filled with the Holy Spirit. In this extract from her poem Invocation, Edith Sitwell calls on the Holy Spirit for peace.
So when the winter of the world and man's fresh fall shall be forgotten, O love, return to the dying world as the light of morning, shining in all regions, latitudes, and households of high heaven within the heart. O Spirit moving upon the waters, your peace instill in the animal heat and splendor of the blood, the hot gold of the sun that flames in the night and knows not down going but moves with the revolutions in the heavens. The thunders and the fires and acclamations of the leaves of spring are stilled, but in the night the Holy Ghost speaks in the whispering leaves. O wheat ear shining like a fire and the bright gold, O water brought from far to the dying gardens, bring peace to the famine of the heart and lips, and to the last man's loneliness. You are the night when the long hunt for nothing is at rest, and in the human breast the hammer of chaos is stilled.
And now to the ecstatic outpouring of a man of 33 who had fallen in love with God. American Trappist Thomas Merton wrote in his journal for September the 26th, 1948.
Love sails me around the house. I walk 2 steps on the ground and 4 steps in the air. It is love. It is consolation. I don't care if it's consolation. I'm not attached to consolation. I love God. Love carries me all around. I don't want to do anything but love. And when the bell rings, it's like pulling teeth to make myself shift because of that love. Secret love. Hidden love. Obscure love. Down inside me and outside me, where I don't care to talk about it. Anyway, I don't have the time or the energy to discuss such matters. I only have time for eternity, which is to say, for love, love, love.
Merton was well aware that such a state of delight he was experiencing was not something he could count on having all the time, or that it was evidence of personal holiness. Teresa of Avila had written in The Way of Perfection,
"Progress in the spiritual life has nothing to do with consolations granted during prayer, payments liable to cease at any moment, which, suddenly bestowed, are no less suddenly snatched away."
The Holy Spirit, we know, is also called Comforter, and this was perhaps the gift Merton had received on that occasion, which he declared as being both love and consolation. And he went on,
"Maybe St. Teresa would like to have me snap out of it, but it is pure, I tell you. I am not attached to it, I hope. And it is love, and it gives me soft punches all the time in the center of my heart. Love is pushing me around the monastery. Love is kicking me all around like a gong. I tell you, love is the only thing that makes it possible for me to continue to tick.
And yet another word from St. Teresa.
The Holy Spirit is, I believe, the intermediary between the soul and God, moving the soul with such ardour that it becomes enkindled with the supreme fire.
The actual physical sensations Merton experienced were not unique to him. The 14th century English mystic Richard Roll wrote in his book The Fire of Love.
I cannot tell you how surprised I was the first time I felt my heart begin to warm. It was real warmth, too, not imaginary, and it felt as if it were actually on fire. I was astonished at the way the heat surged up and how this new sensation brought great and unexpected comfort.
But leaving aside these extraordinary visitations, not granted to most of us anyway, we may still take comfort from these words of Teresa.
Love depends not on the degree of our happiness, but on our determination to please God in all things. To love is all important. There is nothing, however tedious, which cannot be borne with a light heart by those who love one another. Our goodness derives not from our capacity to think, but to love. Do whatever, therefore, most encourages you to love.
And what it seems could be simpler than to do whatever most encourages us to love. And now to close, let's listen to that other peddler of love, friend and contemporary of Teresa, St. John of the Cross.
From now on, I'm always at his door. I gave away my heart and my fortune. I have no flock to shepherd anymore, and there's no other work in my future. My only occupation is love, nothing else. If I'm not seen in familiar places, if people ask for me in the village, tell them I'm lost to men. Tell them I'm off on an adventure. I'm lost on purpose, to be found by love.